Boreal toads were once common in the western part of the United States. Today, the toads and many other amphibians are under attack from a deadly skin disease known as chytrid fungus, which limits their ability to obtain oxygen and may lead to cardiac arrest. But somehow, toads found in western Wyoming appear to be fighting back against the disease. Wyoming Public Radio's Ivy Engel has more about the two-man research team who is trying to put together the pieces of this puzzle.
Western Wyoming boreal toads are brown with a light stripe down their back. They're warty and hop around. And like other boreal toads elsewhere, 50 to 70% of the toads in this area have the chytrid fungus. But University of Wyoming researcher Gabe Barrill is trying to find out why they're not being wiped out by it.
What factors are causing the toads to be doing well in these streams versus, you know, other parts of their range?
Barrill has been studying these toads for about 5 years. Today, he's with his research technician, Matt Webster, in mountains near Pinedale.
Blows me away every day. This is our office. It's pretty great.
Similar to a doctor's checkup, they're weighing, measuring, and taking the temperature of each toad. The temperature is important because the researchers say the chytrid fungus grows in a specific temperature range.
And so we're sort of monitoring, you know, where the toad's body temperature is. And where, you know, toad digestion and immune function is the highest, if they can get their body temperature up to that level, they may be able to fight off the infection.
They also swab the toads with a long Q-tip, which will be sent to the lab to be tested for the presence of the fungus. One thing Barrill is looking into is when and where the fungus tends to be present, and if there's been any recent disturbances in the area that could affect its growth.
You know, if a wildfire warms up the environment in different ways, that could potentially have some sort of positive effect on how they're digesting food and growing and also their immune function. So, yeah, temperature and water relationships are sort of at the heart of most everything with these amphibians.
Another data point he looks at is the proportion of infected toads to healthy toads. There have even been toads who have had the fungus, but then gotten rid of it. These cases are particularly interesting and may shed some light into the way that the fungus can be effectively defended against. While we were driving between sites, he explained what management decisions can be made with this information.
But if you can sort of determine whether the amphibians have the ability to seek out these warm microclimates, and then maybe a simpler, smaller scale habitat manipulation, just to create more of those types of environments that they can go and sort of bask and raise their body temperature or dry out the fungus. Could be a nice sort of effective yet feasible management tactic.
Counting tadpoles and newly emerged toads, which they call toadlets, is another part of the study.
So we're assessing tadpole growth, development, abundance through time, and trying to relate that to environmental conditions at the pond. So, you know, pond size, hydroperiods, number of aquatic predators in the pond, water chemistry.
They move carefully through the water and use a little silver clicker to keep track. Those numbers are also used to calculate data about life stages, survival rates, and future viability, which are important to know when determining the disease's effects. The team is planning one more field season to gather more data before final analysis, with the obvious goal of being able to determine what makes the toads able to fight off the fungus.
It's tough. It's a big puzzle. Fortunately, you can't do a puzzle all at once. You have to do little pieces.
Piece by piece.
For Barrill, this research is not only important because of the global conservation implications, but also because of a simple respect for living things. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.